Why write an essay on the well-known Sojourner Truth, especially well-known in New York? Well, my motivation is none other than a long-felt comment about mankind's inhumanity towards mankind, and I use her to illustrate the rare power of honesty and truth. The Dutch-speaking family of Colonel Hardenberg of Swartekill, just north of Riften in Ulster County, were slave owners. One child of their slaves, Isabella, was born there somewhere between 1797 and 1800. Although most families held no slaves, the wealthy Hardenbergs had about seven, including Betsy and James, a tall, straight-standing, honest man, parents of Isabella. Isabella's mother, Betsy, instilled in her children the importance of truth and her own deep faith that God sees and witnesses everything. Colonel Hardenberg died when Isabella was an infant, and his slaves were passed to his son Charles, who lived nearby and ran a hotel and farm. The half-dozen slaves lived in his cellar, sleeping on loose floorboards with some straw, where in wet weather they could hear the water swirling beneath them. According to the Pulitzer Prize-winning Carlton Mabey, Isabella possibly had a dozen siblings, most of whom had been sold away before Isabella could remember. When Isabella was about nine, still only speaking Dutch, she was sold to an English-speaking family by the name of Neely, nearer to Kingston. Her parents, whom she hardly saw again, were freed by the Hardenbergs on account of her father's age and infirmities, with the idea that Betsy, who was younger, would look after James. Sadly, Isabella's mother died first, and blind and helpless, her father was abandoned to live alone in a shanty in the woods, where one winter, too feeble to keep a fire going and covered with vermin, he froze to death. When Dutch-speaking Isabella was unable to understand Neely's orders, he would whip her, and much later in life she showed her upper body scars to a largely belligerent audience. At 11, she was sold to a tavern keeper in Port Ewan, and then at 13 to the Dumont family, farmers in West Park, township of New Paltz. Mr. Dumont found her to be strong and energetic and praised her hard work. Then, as a farmhand teenager, she found herself attracted to a slave on a neighboring farm, Robert. But Robert's owner, a cruel Englishman by the name of Catlin, or possibly Catton, forbade them to see each other, beating Robert almost to death, because he intended that Robert would marry a slave girl on his own farm. At about 17, Isabella married an older slave, Tom, on the Dumont farm, and in the next dozen years found herself to be the mother of four children. Slavery was abolished in New York State in 1827, when Isabella was about 29. Dumont had promised her he would free her a year early, but reneged on the promise, and so she left, walking with her baby Sophia, leaving her other children to be looked after by Tom back at the Dumonts. Her five-year-old son Peter had recently been sold. By midday she found herself at the Van Wagenen house in Bloomington, who said she could work for them if she wanted to. Dumont soon found her and demanded her back, but the kindly Van Wagenens paid him off, and she stayed with them, at last free, for about a year. Her little son Peter had been sold out of state, which was illegal, to a slave owner in Alabama. The story of how this tall, very black, majestic woman walked barefoot to the Kingston court and insisted on getting him back is too long, as is the rest of her life, to be fitted into a four-minute essay. Unable ever to read or write, she managed to travel as a now-free person to women's rights meetings and address often hostile groups over large parts of the country, before dying in her mid-80s. Thus, just one illustration of mankind's inhumanity up against truth and courage.